What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Woo! It has been a wild weekend here in Rhode Island. But before we get to my story, we got Tyler here this week, our normal co-host. Unfortunately, Tim Keller has got some family commitments. He's having a wild July 4th weekend. The fireworks are absolutely popping off in Pennsylvania. He's got some family in, so he's stepping out this week. But we got Jay Wayne, the co-host of Married to the Game, joining us this evening as we recap the UDPL. So, Jay, how are you this evening? Is it nice and warm down in Charleston? What's the weather like?
It's great. It's just humid as hell.
Yeah, we hit 100 today. The humidity, the real feel was like 105. It was absolutely blazing today in Rhode Island, and it's going to be like 90s the next few days. Tyler, you guys still have snow in Minnesota, or what are we looking like?
Actually, it was hot on Friday. Yes. It got up to about 98 degrees. How do I know? Because I was driving into work and it said 98 degrees.
Because you were listening to 98 degrees, perhaps?
That's where the joke comes in, is because I saw it on my screen. I'm like, that's either my CD or the temperature. And it could be either or both.
What's a CD?
It's Corey Davis?
One of those circle things that you throw into a player and they play songs.
I like to use them as skeet shooting. I just throw them in the air and use the pump shotgun and blast them out in my backyard.
Yeah. But by the way, speaking of music, Drake's new CD, hot garbage.
Every Drake CD is hot garbage. Is that a hot take? Here's my version of Drake. Yeah, I'm all set with that. It's like elevator music for hip hop.
I literally can't stand rap. I'm sorry. I can't do it anymore. I'm like South Park. When Stan, all he hears is farts and crap. Like, I'm like that with rap now. Like, am I too old for it? I don't know.
You got to get off the radio rap. Rap's getting good. I don't know. I got to defend rap here. I'm a big fan, but I don't dislike Drake too much. He gets a lot of bad rap, but then he did that God's Plan video and he gave away $1 million. How can you not like the guy after that?
Yeah, he was just looking for some good rap.
He was just looking for good PR after he got ethered by Pusha. That's all it was.
What are you gonna do?
I'm all about the ludicrous. The old school Luda.
Move. Luda. Get out the way.
That's like one of the only raps I'll listen to.
Ludicrous, that was the first parental advisory CD I ever bought. It was Back for the First Time.
Nice.
Love it.
My first one, this shows how old I am, was Straight Outta Compton. I bought it at a flea market in Haverhill, Mass. My mom bought it for me, and I was like 10.
Mine was Dr. Dre's first CD, and I was like...
The Chronic.
I was under 10, and I just bought the CD.
Such a good CD. That, you know, that CD holds up real well. I listened to that not too long ago in my car, and it is still so good.
Yeah. I was too young to know what I was even hearing.
Yeah. So... That was some good music talk, and thank you, Jay Wayne, for joining us this week as we recap the Ultimate Dynasty Podcaster League. I do want to tell you one quick thing, though. I had an experience this week that I don't wish on anybody. We had a massive rainstorm, and sand, poopy water went into my new pool that, as if you listen, you know it's open. It's been great. 2 weeks later, there's just brown water in my pool. I had a pool party today with like 20 people here, and my wife's like, there's no way we're going to get it clean. And I was like, you know what? Challenge accepted. And I got that sumbitch clean. And it's almost back to the clarity that it was beforehand. It literally looked like diarrhea poop in my brain.
I guess it would have been a poop party.
I would have just made it like a Shrek-themed party. Like we could just hang out in the mud.
In the swamp? Yeah.
In the swamp. That was my plan, like if it went sideways. But luckily, after a lot of due diligence and vacuuming and... Oh, man.
Due diligence.
So much work.
Yeah,
so,
it's all right. Cool. We get it. You have a pool, Doug. Way to rub it in our faces.
That's okay. Hey, and you know what? One of the things that I like to do by the pool, I like to go on the Sit or Start Fantasy app because I like all the breaking news. Did you guys know today that Cam Chancellor retired from the Seattle Seahawks? There's some IDP talk for you. So get Bradley McDougald while you can. That's the hot take right there. If you don't know who he is, you probably don't play IDP, and I feel bad for you because IDP
Did he have a farm?
Fire Flames. That was McDonald. That's TJ McDonald. He plays for the Dolphins. I believe he has a farm. Hard to grow things in Miami other than like oranges and maybe avocados. Not a traditional farm. It's too hot. Too damn hot. So yeah, check out the Sitter Start app. It is on the Google Play Store, which is what I use. I'm an Android user. If you use Apple and you're a lesser human, that's cool. You can check it on the Apple iTunes Store. So make sure you download that today. don't like that hot take either.
Doug's taking shots today.
I'm literally CDs or shotguns. I'm shooting them out. And we also brought to you this week by the Ultimate Draft Kit from the Fantasy Footballers, their magnum opus of research. And what you need to do is you need to go on ultimatedraftkit.com, download the draft kit, use code Happy Hour to save 10%. It's the best price you're going to get out of anywhere. Spend the $27. It's constantly updating. It's not like a magazine that you get in the store where it's like, oh man, Zach Stacy's a really great pick. And then 2 months later, Zach Stacy's not even in the league. It happens. So they're going to update it all the time with all of the news. Once Dez Bryant signs with the team, the ranks will be updated. They've got Matt Harmon's reception perception data in there. They've got sleepers. They've got busts. They've got videos. Literally everything you could ever need in a draft kit is in that kit. So make sure you go to ultimatedraftkit.com and use code Happy Hour. So let's get on with it and get to this UDPL draft. This draft was held about a week after the actual NFL draft. And we got after it. Yeah,
Day after. We're hardcore.
I was trying not to make us look too geeky, Tyler. But I guess you just ruined it, so whatever. So what we're going to do is...
Super nerdy.
Yeah, so I'm going to read the picks. We're going to start with the first round because that makes sense because we're not that insane. So we'll start with the first round. Tyler's going to chime in. There was a lot of different trades in this league. So just to give you an idea of some of the analysts that are in this league. So you have Tyler has a team. I have a team representing TFF Gurus. We have Married to the Game. Those three guys are running a team. We have Dynasty Trade Calculator. We have Dynasty Dummies. We've got the Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast with Dynasty Nerds. We've got All In with Chris Whitman. We've got Roto Underworlds from the Podfather himself. Dynasty Wall Street with John Bosch. We got Dynasty Life with Travis. And Rotobond with Pete Davidson. So this is a wealth of knowledge and talent in this league. It's a pretty prestigious league. It's pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie. So let's kick it off. The 1-1 was owned by Chris Whitman, who, by the skin of his teeth, was able to secure the 1-1. There was a story behind that, and I believe there was a week where he lost by like 0.08 points, or someone won by 0.08 points. And Whitman ended
John Paul Hurley won by 0.1 points.
Oh.
And that is what gave Chris Saquon.
You know, it's the crazy things that happen in fantasy football. That is it right up there, because it's like that's a huge difference. You get Saquon Barkley versus the 1-2. So that's exactly who Chris took. He took Saquon Barkley. There were no trades involving that pick. So that one's a pretty easy one. And yep. Then at the number 2 pick, DTC Podcast at DTC John, which is John Hurley, the host of DTC, took Darius Geis. No trades on that pick either. And I think that's like one of the only picks in this entire draft that didn't have a trade. there was a lot of them. Yep. So, and then at the 1-3, so DTC John Hurley is back up again, and he's back up again at the 1-4. So at the 1-3, he took Nick Chubb, and at the 1-4, he took Sony Michel, which was my original pick, but I traded it, and then it got traded all around. So the interesting thing here is that this is a super flex league. So you're going to start two quarterbacks every single week. So this was a little bit of a shocking move. So Tyler, talk to me a little bit about the trades that went down on these two picks.
All right. Well, a lot of the moves that he made to get these players, I don't want to spoil it, were made before. 105 right. He had when he traded me Mike Evans. I had 105, and I traded him. I traded him 105 in the Mike Evans deal. And I mean, I'd love to do it again because I got Mike Evans.
Right.
So, and he took Josh Rosen at 105, which started off his quarterback just grouping, where he just took all the quarterbacks, said, "These quarterbacks are mine. Nobody's getting them." And then at the 106. Jay Wayne, you guys made a trade.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're sitting there, and I like that even though it's a super flex, the first four picks were running backs. That's smart. I mean, you got to get one of those four guys if you got one of those four picks. Being that it's a super flex league, you know, we're pretty new to that here, Married to the Game. We started a league last year, so it's like our second year doing it. It's really fun. I enjoy it, mostly because a lot of players fall. And so, you know, we're sitting here on the board, and we have a couple quarterbacks, so we're doing okay. But, you know, Blake Bortles, he could his contract could be up next year. They could cut him with not too much. He scares me a little bit. He's great while he's in there. I love it. But I don't know what's going to happen long term. But we didn't really care. We're not going to, you know, we also got Kirk Cousins. So we're sitting good with quarterback, and we knew that, you know, being a super flex league, people are going to want those quarterbacks. So we were just we took over this team. This team wasn't ours from the get-go. We got an orphan team last year. We didn't even get last year's rookie draft in. And then actually our second-round pick was traded away already before we took that team. So we're sitting here with 1-6, and we're like, let's try and get some equity. Let's try and move back, because there's a bunch of dudes on the board at this point that I would totally be fine putting on my team. And so we just went to work sending out trades, trying to move back some, and we were able to do it a few times here.
Yeah, you guys got 109 and 203 from, it was John Bosch, and you guys just gave up 106. So I actually absolutely love that deal for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a second round pick back. Now we had a second to work with, and we only moved back three spots. So there was definitely three guys on our board, and that's, to me, that's the name of the game, is to pick up some value there, pick up some extra picks when you know there's still a fair amount of guys you want if you don't have to move back too far.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. I mean, I like that. Just, you know, if you're trying to rebuild a team that, you know, you took over, I think that's definitely the mindset to have.
Right, and really who we wanted was Kerryon Johnson, and we knew he was probably going to fall. So, you know, we didn't think we needed to take Kerryon right there, so we just proceeded to trade back.
There you go. So then we had the John Paul Hurley took three running backs in a row. Again, he went Geist, Chubb, Michelle. And then at 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, and 1-8, John Bosch was on the board with all four picks, and he took the consensus top four quarterbacks. Now, the order that he took those in: Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Lamar Jackson. So obviously trying to cash in on the fact that it's a super flex league. I think probably in a year, maybe one of those quarterbacks, probably Josh Rosen, because I know he likes Rosen quite a bit, will still be on his team. But knowing the way that John plays Dynasty football, as soon as one of these guys has a big couple games, he's going to try to sell them at maximum value. That's exactly the strategy. You just try to just corner the market on the most valuable asset in the league, which is quarterbacks,
yeah,
to be completely honest.
For 107... he made a trade with Rotobon. Pete Davidson gave up 107. Mm-hmm. And John gave up a 201, 206, 302, a 19 first, and a 19 second. So gave up quite a bit of equity to go up to 107.
Pete made out in that deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then he also made a trade with John Paul Hurley to go get 108, which he then gave up 209, a 19 first, and a 2020 first. So I don't think he gave up too much there.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Yeah, for a quarterback in a super flex league, I mean, yeah, you gave up two future firsts. You have to wait 2 years for one of those to actually be at full value. But, I mean, at the point right now, if one of those quarterbacks hits to be a top 12 guy, you made out pretty well in that trade.
Yeah, Jay, what do you think about that strategy of cornering the market on a particular position?
I'm totally fine with it, unless it's quarterback. That to me is just I hate the move for that guy. I don't know why. You know, I definitely wouldn't have been doing that. He does, looking at his team here, it's not super stacked with. I mean, he's got Cam Newton, and I guess that's about it. So he definitely needed a starter. You know, he needed a starter, and I think he could have taken one of those guys. You know, I don't know that any of them are going to start right away. I don't know. I don't like it right off the rip, but it is a two quarterback league. So hopefully he can do something with those with those guys and move them. It is a very active league. That's one of the cool things about this league is that people are very down to trade and are very involved. So
yeah, Tyler's. I can see Tyler's face. He's getting the itch as we speak.
Oh, it's on Twitter. John Bosch himself actually told me he misses me being an anti-trader because I've gotten a lot better. I've calmed down.
You have.
But it's getting into July, and the mosquitoes are out, and I don't think they're the ones that's making me itch. It's me needing a trade.
You remind me of the Tyrone Biggums from the Chappelle Show. He's like, anybody got some trades?
My favorite part's when he just busts the car window and steals the cassette player.
I like it when he's on Fear Factor and he's just laying in the thing and he's just there and he's just chilling and they're like, what the hell? This guy's been in here for like a day.
Yeah.
Play to win, baby.
So good. Oh, man.
Oh, all right. So
then coming up at the 1-9, we had Dynasty Nerds at Dynasty Rich taking Rashad Penner.
Yes, and this is where, Jay Wayne, you guys traded back, and you guys traded 109, 203, and 306, and Rich Dotson of Dynasty Nerds gave up 110, 202, 303, and a third next year. So you guys traded down one, moved up one in the second round, and then you guys also got a pick for next year.
Yeah, we moved up one in the second round and three picks in the third round and got a third next year just to move back one spot. And, you know, at that point, we're just trying to fill this thing up again, man. Let's just move back. Let's pick up something. Now we have an extra third. Our second and third round picks this year get a little bit better, and we're still going to get a guy that we like at 110 for sure. So, you know,
I question.
Well, you thought that would be the case.
Did you guys have Sashi Brown take over your team for like a day? Because you guys are just accumulating all of this future value. And I knew you guys traded back a bunch, but I'm just realizing how much you guys are building this team. And it's just, it's kind of scary to be honest with you. I'm like, crap.
This sucks. Nice. It's good to hear that since we're competing together. But
no, I'm not scared. Nope, not one bit.
I mean, we still got a ways to go. This team was pretty bad, but I mean,
Rome wasn't built in a day.
I think we were just basically, since we're in a league with all these, you know, experts in the industry, we know that everybody has like a guy that they really like. And we happen to like a lot of different guys. We just like the guy who's the least expensive out of a group of guys, you know. And also with us sharing this team, the three of us, like, when nobody wanted to make a call like, oh, I really want Rashad Penny here, or I really want Carry On. I think we're all pretty much Carry On over Rashad. I don't know. I don't want to speak for the other two guys. Things change all the time. But I don't know. I think I want to take Carry On over Penny. I just, it's hard with the draft capital that Penny and the opportunity that Penny's about to have. I can't deny what he's about to be able to get a shot at doing anyways. Looking at the tape pre-draft, I was way higher on Carry On. And so we know that there's still, you know, Penny's on the board. So somebody wants to come up and get Penny, and we're just trying to find that guy. So give us something extra. We'll move back and just keep accumulating those future picks since we are in pretty much rebuild mode here.
Yeah, and you guys, so you had the 110, and then Tyler came a-knocking, and he jumped into the 110 spot and drafted Ronald Jones. Tyler, what did you give up to acquire that pick?
Do I have to say?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't have to, right? No. I know for a fact these guys are like Kenyon Drake. They're fans. I am as well, but I know these guys value him a little more than me. So I put that into this trade. And then they kept asking for Alex Collins. And I'm just like, I can't do that, man. I just can't give you Alex Collins in the deal. So the trade actually ended up me just getting 110. And I gave up Kenyon Drake, Albert Wilson, and a second round in 19 and 20. And I moved up to get Rojo, who I think is one of the running backs that should be taken even before a quarterback. I like Rojo. And I thought this is a huge value at 110. And I think Rojo could be a superstar. So I traded up to 110, go get Rojo. And I gave up Drake, Wilson. I still got to keep Collins. These guys were nice enough to let me keep Collins, but I had to throw in the 2020 second. And that was the deal breaker for sure, if I can remember.
Gotcha. So, Jay Wayne, you guys sold on Drake being a feature back down there in Miami?
I mean, I'm not sold on really anything. I really like what he put down at the end of the year. At the end of the last season, he looked pretty phenomenal out there. He's a big play, make your day in one play kind of guy. I like that. He's a quick twitcher. He's got incredible short area quickness to go with some long speed. And then there's a PPR floor there that's very attractive. And to me, they didn't make any huge moves. They could have drafted a much more predominant running back if they wanted to. I like kind of what Kalen Ballage has going on, but I'm not scared of him taking that job. And then obviously Frank Gore is the perennial beast, the inconvenient truth. That dude is the man. I love Frank Gore. Whatever he wants to do is cool. And he's not going anywhere. He's going to demand some carry. So try not to get over zealous too much, but we definitely like Drake. We've talked a lot about him, and we like the Adam Gase offense. And Tyler had been trying to trade us throughout this whole process because we're sending out offers to everybody, and he was interested in somebody. We weren't quite sure who, but then we had this 110 pick, and we're still thinking carry on basically, and there's still some other, but we'd be fine getting Rojo if we traded out of this pick and Rojo or Royce Freeman fell. We would be fine. We wanted to get a running back. We're all about getting running backs. Like, I don't think you can have too many running backs. So, we were like, do we like Kerryon over Drake? And we were like, I don't think so. Let's go Drake. And so then we were able to get an extra two twos, and it was just too good to pass up. And we tried to give up some more to get Alex Collins. I really like what Alex Collins is going on. I think he's a great value in startups, and his ADP is probably too low for what I think it should be. But we tried to get him. He held on to him. Good job there, Tyler. But we got
it was close.
We got Drake, and we're pretty excited about it. So, and then nice. The two twos were icing. I mean, the two twos were pretty awesome.
Not wearing two twos. So let's move.
It's a fantasy show.
If you get last place, maybe that should be the penalty.
That's the punishment, right? That's not bad. We're going to move on to the 111, and that pick was made by the Podfather, Matthew Kelly. And he took Royce Freeman, and there was involving that pick as well. He loves him some Royce Freeman.
Yeah, the picks move all over the place in this league, so that was a trade that happened before the draft.
Gotcha. Thank you for clarification on that, Tyler. We'll move to the last pick of the first round, and that is our friend Travis May at Dynasty
Life. The champion.
Life.
The guy who won it.
He took it down. Yes, he won. And
Without David Johnson. Oh,
I know. And he picked the wide receiver one, the consensus wide receiver one on many draft boards, and that was DJ Moore. So he's adding to his already championship caliber team a great prospect in DJ Moore at the 112. You boys ready to move into the second round?
Yeah,
or you want to give me a little bit of recap? Give me some picks that you like and that you didn't like.
First, I've got to say the Ronald Jones pick was tremendous.
Don't hurt your hand patting yourself on the back, Tyler.
DJ Moore was my favorite pick.
Just that was a good pick.
112. Yeah. And when I traded up, there was two players I wanted. It was Rojo or DJ Moore. And I had so much trouble not taking DJ Moore there. And the only reason why is because I had Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and Demaryius Thomas, and my running backs were nothing. Mm-hmm. So I needed a running back. Like Jay Wayne said, you can't have too many running backs. So I like having Rojo, and that's the reason why I went that pick. But yeah, the DJ Moore pick is a steal.
Jay Wayne, what about you? What are some of the things that you liked and maybe didn't like here in this first round?
I mean, I agree. I think DJ Moore there at 112 is a steal. I'm enamored with him. I have a hard time placing him with all those running backs because I think he belongs somewhere in there. I'm just kind of enamored a little bit. The guys that I play with don't like wide receivers in the first round of rookie draft, so it would have been hard convincing them. That's why we just stuck to running back. But, I mean, being a two-quarterback league, I really like the Baker Mayfield pick. I think he's the guy that I want out of all these rookies, hands down. I like that pick. I liked it. The first four picks were running backs. Good job, guys. You did a good job there.
We did it.
Because if any one of those top four running backs would have fell, obviously Barkley's not going to fall, but if Geis or Chubb or Sony Michel would have fallen to us at 1-6, we wouldn't have been doing all that trading. We would have just taken that guy there.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from the first round was just with Bosch kind of cornering the market on quarterbacks. When to me, I always play for win now in Dynasty as much as I can. So, I mean, if you're in win now mode, you take maybe one or two quarterbacks, and then you take a couple of those running backs and just call it a day. When you have four picks right there in the middle of the first round, like, But I mean, I get where his strategy is. We'll have to see if it pays off. So let's move. Oh, go ahead.
And I just want to mention, when we're sitting here talking about me trading for Rojo, I actually traded Rojo recently, and I'll mention this because we're just in the middle of it.
Sure.
I traded Carson Wentz, Rojo, and Bilal Powell to John Paul Hurley for Andrew Luck and Nick Chubb. And this was kind of an easy choice for me because I think Luck can be the number one quarterback again. You guys all know how I'm on the Luck train. I think he's fine. His shoulder's fine. I mean, the dude's beefed up. How is he lifting with a hurt shoulder? You can't lift with a hurt shoulder. It's nearly impossible.
And I'm also not worried about him not throwing. I mean, the guy knows how to throw, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that it's a high school football. And I just want to – I got to give Stefania Bell on ESPN. She even said he's been throwing an NFL football, just not in front of cameras.
Sure.
Like, he's doing a lot of things not in front of media. It's just the first thing he did in front of media was throw a high school football, high school slash college, because
right.
they're same size. But I like that trade because I have Nick Chubb ahead of Rojo. I think Nick Chubb is – talent wins out, and I think he's going to be the lead dog in Cleveland within time. And, yeah, my whole entire stance on Luck. And the one last trade I want to talk, Sony Michel also got dealt. This is how active this league is. John Paul Hurley, he gave up Gesicki. And Sony Michel, okay, a little spoiler, he drafted Gesicki. But he got Marquise Goodwin, Jesse James, a 19 first from John Bosch. And it's John Bosch's 19 first. So I'm guessing JP maybe thinks it's going to be an early first because John is playing more for buy-sell right. strategy, getting a team. Drafting the players and trading them for a top value type situation. So maybe he's thinking this is going to be an opportunity to get the 101 next year. And also we have one last trade. And Hurley gave up Darius Geis and the Podfather second next year for Jordan Howard, Marvin Jones, a 19-4th, and another 19-4th. So he traded Geis, Chubb, and Michelle within a month.
Yeah, two of those deals. I don't like the Michelle deal all that much, and the Geis deal too. Like, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of either of those. Those are deals that I probably wouldn't have made, but hey, to each their own. Everyone builds their roster differently, and kudos to working out some trades, because trades can be a pain in the butt, especially when you're working with guys that are pretty well-versed in Dynasty. It can be a dance, so yeah.
P.S., if you do the Dynasty trade calculator stance against Hurley, it is the funniest thing. Like he's like, no, the value's not on my side. And then you can be like, yeah, well, the value on the calculator says otherwise.
I did that to him like a month ago. It was hilarious. Because I was actually trying to get Darius Geis, and I was thinking about moving Juju Smith-Schuster, and then I decided not to. And there's a whole other story behind that. But so let's move on to the second round. So kicking off with the first two picks in the second round was Pete Davidson at Rotobon, took Kerryon Johnson at the 2-1, and then took the number 5 overall quarterback on everyone's boards, Josh Allen. So, well, Tyler, hit me with the trades here, and then I want you to talk about like the value of Josh Allen, because I actually think this is a pretty decent pick.
I'm going to let Jay Wayne talk about the trade, because Pete took Kerryon, and instantly I had a gut feeling that's who they wanted. That's because they talk about him on Married to the Game podcast, how they love Kerryon, how just he's young and they love his running style. He's a 3-down workhorse back. And I'm gonna give him the mic and explain the whole situation, because I knew they were probably heartbroken.
Oh, it was such a bummer. You know, I think we're sitting there with the next pick, and Kerryon goes off right in front of us. So that was our plan, was to try and get him. Like I've probably said his name 8 times already on the show. So bummer there. So we immediately went to work on trying to get him. We had the 2-2, or so we have the next pick, and we wanted to give him this pick. So we didn't want to go ahead and make a pick ourselves, because we didn't know who he'd want to take. You know, we want to make sure he gets the guy that he would want after trading us Kerryon. So we know he had Dalvin Cook. We had Latavius Murray. So we threw that in as a kicker, and we took one of the second round picks that Tyler traded us, packaged that up with our 2-2 and Latavius, and grabbed Kerryon Johnson and got our boy. So it worked out, I think, for sure. I'm super pumped with getting Carry On. And now we have Carry On and Drake, which we turn that into from 1-6, plus another second next year and another third. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I like those moves. So, Tyler, talk to me about Josh Allen. I think that in a lot of Superflex leagues, we've seen him slide even further than this, but I thought this was a pretty good spot for him. What are your thoughts on that in the Superflex league, taking Josh Allen right at the top of the second round?
I mean, I probably would have waited a little bit more just because Josh Allen is a complete dart throw. Like, we're talking, if he hits, he's going to hit hard. He is going to be a top-tier quarterback if he hits. But the hit percentage on him is probably 30%, I would have to say.
So similar to his completion percentage.
Yes,
just kidding.
Pretty much.
I actually don't mind Josh Allen, so that's just a industry-wide stab at him.
I mean, I like him, but I'm not going to take him over the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was kind of stuck on. And
gotcha.
Like, I do agree. I think he'd probably go later in any other rookie draft, but the values of quarterbacks in this league is extreme. I mean, I traded 110 for Case Keenum and a couple other guys. Like, I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world for quarterbacks out there in this league. This is probably the toughest league to play in with all these sharks and everybody knowing their stuff. I mean, you jump into the waters, you might get eaten.
definitely need a second quarterback to throw in that lineup. So I get taking the stab there. Looking at the Rotobonds team, he's got Dak Prescott and Sam Bradford might make some starts. I think Eli maybe might have a little career resurgence here. So,
sure.
I mean, you can roll with Eli and Dak. I mean, that's not bad. And then he grabs Josh Allen, who might be the only rookie that actually starts off the year starting, so he could actually use that guy. So that might work out for him. I don't love the supporting cast in Buffalo there. They get rid of all their good players and you know, they let Sammy go and Robert Woods and they're trying to patch together Kelvin Benjamin and Zay Jones, who I liked a lot coming out of college, but he's just had one bad thing after another. So I don't love the supporting cast. I don't know. I'd like to get two quarterbacks and then never have to worry about it again. But, you know, we got Blake Bortles. We're playing a little bit of quarterback roulette. But for this year, it's good to go, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I know for a fact Pete has been hard on my case to get Pat Mahomes, who's my second quarterback. And I told him he's going to have to give up Dalvin Cook if he wants a little Pat Mahomes. So.
Yeah, Pete loves Patrick Mahomes. He has him in pigs, too. And he loves him some Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. I told him Dalvin has to be part of that trade. And so if he's going to listen to this pod, Pete, you know where to find me.
Come at me, bro. All right, so let's move on to the 2-3. We had Rich again from the Dynasty Nerds. He took Calvin Ridley from Atlanta, Tyler's favorite team. Was there any trades involving that pick, Tyler?
It was a pass trade.
Okay. So what we'll do here is we'll go through the second round. We won't go over the trades because I think the most interesting ones happen to be in the first round. So unless something sticks out at you, Tyler, you can stop me and chime in.
Pretty much that's it. There's a trade at the end. I just want to mention me trading into the fourth round, but it feels like it's an important trade to me.
Yeah, and I'll bring up my trade that netted me my upcoming pick here because it was an interesting one from last year. So I had the 2-4 and the 2-5. My team's built to win now. I have some aging receivers on that team. So like Dez Bryant, I have Jordy Nelson. Alshon Jeffrey isn't necessarily aging, but I have Juju Smith-Schuster. So I have a good roster. Edelman is another receiver that I have. So I wanted to inject a little bit of youth because I didn't see any running backs that I liked in this particular spot. And all the quarterbacks were gone. And I didn't need a lot of tight end help. I'm not a huge Gesicki guy. So for him, that was a little too rich for me. So I went and took Cortland Sutton, who was my wide receiver 2 off the board. And I took him with the 2-4. And then I followed it up at the 2-5. This was a tough one for me because it was either Anthony Miller or Christian Kirk. And I went back and forth on it quite a bit because I really like Anthony Miller. But I had him in a couple other leagues. I didn't own any Christian Kirk. So I went ahead and took Christian Kirk at the 2-5, and I got this pick from Riley Bymaster, who works for DTC, last season. He moved up a couple spots with me last year, and I traded him Brett Hundley, and he gave me Jimmy Garoppolo. So, and a pick. So I moved up. I think he moved up like 6 or 7 spots. I don't remember the details. I don't have them in front of me. But I netted Jimmy Garoppolo from moving. He was either out completely or back, one of the two. So in a super flex league, I got Garoppolo for a nice price. So, you know, the nice thing is being a New England fan, knowing that Garoppolo I thought could hit if Brady either retired, got traded, or if Garoppolo got traded. I made out like a bandit on that one.
Yeah. That's the thing about Superflex. You got to look at backups and see who might be worth going after. Like me saying DeShone Kizer could be a guy to go after right now because he's dirt cheap. People forget about him.
Yep.
But Aaron Rodgers is not happy in Green Bay right now, and Kizer could be the starter in like 2 years.
Or if Rodgers has another shoulder injury, boom.
Yeah, just Anthony Barr comes in.
Anthony Barr walks into a bar. No. So those are the two picks that I made there, and I was pretty happy with those. Like I said, I took the best talent available on the board at the time. So the next two picks, we go back to Pete, Mr. Rotobon himself, and he took Anthony Miller. I knew he was going to go off the board right after because I know Pete is also an Anthony Miller guy because he has him in pigs too, like I do. And then he took Nyheim Hines right after that at the 2-7. And then so I'll finish up the second round, and then we can kind of jump back in. So the 2-8 was the Podfather, Matt Kelly, back up again, and he took Michael Gallup. John Paul Hurley was up at the 2-9 with the 21st overall pick and took Mike Gesicki, our first tight end off the board. And this is a tight end premium league, so they do have some extra value with the points per reception.
Who we then traded in that one deal that I spoiled.
That was a spoiler from earlier. And then at 2-10, we finally heard from the Dynasty Dummies. They took Dante Pettis, the rookie wide receiver from San Francisco, followed by Riley, hearing his name for the first time, other than making fun of him for that bad trade. Riley took Tyler's boy, James Washington.
I love this. Love it.
Hold your analysis. I'll get to you. So he took James Washington at the 2-11. And to round out the second round, the champion comes back again. I tried to move into this spot to get my boy, Kalen Ballage. And I didn't think Travis was interested in him because he's been lukewarm at best on Ballage all throughout the draft process. So I was like, ooh, let me try to make a trade with Travis and try to get in here to get Ballage. And I couldn't get it done. So I'm just going to wait a year and then get Ballage for a third round pick.
Yeah. And I knew Travis, if he had a chance to get Ballage. Actually, you say he was lukewarm. Travis always said he doesn't get his stats and why he never really got the full-time thing and why he always got beat out. But Travis always said he's so just drawn to Ballage that he's a fan of him.
Yeah, so I just know he didn't have like a public adoration for the player. I knew he was kind of like all of his analysis was like, he's not a huge. So I was like, I tried to play off that by making the mental notes on it. And it didn't work. So let's go to you, Jay Wayne. What are some of the picks that stand out for you that you liked and some that you're like, not so much?
Well, I like that you went Christian Kirk over Anthony Miller. I think you made the right choice there, although you can't really go wrong with either one of them.
Yeah, that was my thought process too.
I think that I got to be with Tyler here. I'm curious to see how far up he would rather have James Washington over these guys. I think he's got to move up definitely over Pettis. And you could make an argument for him over anyone. I mean, he was my favorite wide receiver coming out of the end of the league this year before the draft, and then the landing spot and the draft capital is a little bit lower than some of these other guys, which is a little bit surprising. But I mean, that's a great pick there by Masturbator. And then we were actually trying to get in there and get Kalen Ballage as well, because we just acquired Drake, and we don't absolutely love Kalen. I think he's got massive potential, a guy that's that big and can move that quickly and also catch the ball just about as good as anybody in this class. It's appealing. And we were trying to give up some stuff to get him, and Travis was like, I'm just not sold on Kenyon Drake being the guy, so I'm going to keep Kalen. And we were like, all right, we tried. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of chalk here. You can, if you need a back, you can kind of squeeze Nyheim Hines in wherever you want. And if you need a tight end, you can kind of squeeze Mike Gesicki in wherever you want.
Right.
And then with these running back or these wide receivers, it's pick your choice. You know, who do you like the best? It's really, I don't think I could pin any of them down to be the guy, the best one. I don't know who's going to have the best value after this first season, you know?
Yeah. Tyler, what did you think on this second round? Anything that stands out for you?
James Washington is probably the best pick here in the round two. And honestly, Doug, if I were you, I would have taken James Washington at 205 ahead of Kirk. But I do get why you didn't. And it's because you'd had the triple threat. The Juju, Antonio Brown, James Washington
and,
trio.
Well, and I had Martavis at the time, who had just gotten traded. So
maybe you're a closet Steelers fan, which would be weird as a New England fan.
I totally forgot I had Antonio Brown. How did I leave that out?
And
wow.
James Washington, to me, is a guy that I had, like Jay Wayne, big fan of. I think is a guy that is going to outplay his draft. Steelers just know how to draft wide receivers, and they know how to use them.
Yeah, so, Marcus Wheaton worked out well.
Okay. Everybody has an outline.
Limus Swede. That was a long time ago. I'm just busting balls.
But James Washington is a guy that I would have drafted there. But like I said, it makes sense you didn't. I think that's a tremendous pick by Riley. His first pick was good. Good job, Riley. You didn't screw it up.
Nice. So let's move on to the third round. We'll go through these picks, and then we'll circle back with you boys. So at the 3-1, John Bosch is back on the board after getting all of those quarterbacks. He selects the second tight end off the board with Dallas Goedert, who went to Philadelphia, which no one really liked the landing spot. Everyone likes the talent, but it is tight end premium, so I'm not surprised that Bosch tries to capitalize on that, trying to, again, maximize the value of the pick. At the 3-2, we had Pete Davidson, Rotobon, coming back with Antonio Callaway from Cleveland. At 3-3, we had the Married to the Game Boys taking Deion Kane, the Indianapolis Colts receiver. At the 3-4, John Parholy joins us back again and takes Equanimeous St. Brown. At the 3-5, it's John Bosch again. He takes the sixth quarterback off the board, Mason Rudolph, just getting another quarterback.
I totally forgot he got Mason Rudolph.
I know, right? And the 3-6, Matt Kelly, the Podfather, came back, got another one of his players, Traquan Smith. I know he loves him. 3-7, Pete Davidson. He is a huge Hayden Hurst fan, so I'm not surprised that he pulled the trigger there. At 3-8, we have the Dynasty Nerds, Dynasty Rich, taking Mark Andrews. So we got a little bit of flurry of action at tight ends here in the third round. At the 3-9, we had Tyler take Bayshon Hamilton. I know you are a big fan of him. At the 3-10, we had the Dynasty Dummies take John Kelly.
Because they had to.
Yeah, they
we actually forced them, I think. We were in the chat saying,
we
no,
guilted
you have
him into
to.
It. Yeah, you have to take John Kelly. You have to. So they took Kelly. At the 3-11, we had John Bosch come back again, and he took another quarterback. He took Kyle LaLetta. So that gives him a total of 6 quarterbacks in this draft. Absolutely bonkers. And then to wrap up the third round, Travis getting really good value again. That should be the name of his team. He got DJ Chark later in a fantasy draft than he went in the NFL draft. He got him at the last pick in the third round.
I love his comment. Did DJ Chark murder someone or or something and I missed it?
That is a very good summary of DJ Chark sliding to the end of the third in this draft, going after quite a few players. So that's interesting. So Travis, Tyler, I'll go to you first. What's some of your takeaways from the third round?
I'm going to be honest with you. I love my pick. Traquan and my pick are probably my two favorites. 306 again, Traquan. It was right after the draft, so Traquan didn't actually, people didn't start realizing how great that situation might be or how Cameron Meredith might not heal the quickest and Traquan could get playing time sooner. That 306, that's great. By the way, Traquan reminds me a lot of Dante Moncrief's situation. Third round pick, tons of upside.
Here we go. The hill that you're going to die on. Tons of upside, but never does anything.
It's like my life. No.
That's harsh, man.
You got to beat yourself up to bring yourself up, right?
You got to break yourself down to pick yourself up, right? Is that what it is?
Damn it. I see. Like I said, I'm not. Tons of upside. I guess. Just fail at everything.
That's
all
good.
No, and Deshaun Hamilton at 309. I love it. Deshaun, I just think is a guy that's going to get playing time sooner than later. Everybody sees him as a slot guy. I see him as a guy that can be moved all around. When I watch Penn State games, he's a guy that also went deep. He's faster than you think. He's a 4.4 speed guy. Deshaun's a guy that I love. And I also have Carlos Henderson. So one of those two's got to pan out, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably likely that one of the two does. Just depending on which one. So Jay Wayne, this third round, what did you like? What are some things that made you scratch your head a little bit? Anything that stands out for you in particular?
Well, I mean, I guess seeing Goedert go over over like a Mark Andrews, I think, maybe if I had to pick a head scratcher there. We had that pick at 3-3. We took Deion Kane. We debated a lot. You know, we've debated a lot on our podcast about Tre'Quan Smith and Deion Kane, and it ultimately came down to the life expectancy of Drew Brees. And if Andrew Luck can come back and play, which I think he will, and Deion Kane can keep his head right, he's got a massive potential. Like you're saying, you know, these potential guys that never pan out, but he is a Clemson wide receiver, so that bodes well for my boy there.
Did he play basketball?
No, I don't think he played basketball. But I think that's a home run cut for us. We like Tre'Quan, but I think you got to look a little bit down the line here in Dynasty, and we like Deion Kane. We evaluated him. We had him high coming out of college, and we went ahead and took it there. I can't blame you if you want to take Tre'Quan over him. We also considered Mason Rudolph because it's a two-quarterback league, but I also don't know. I could see Ben playing for a long time or him hanging it up. I don't know, but who knows. I like the Deshaun Hamilton pick, like you said, Tyler, and then – you know, Travis was all upset that DJ Chark fell that far, but it's just because he can't catch the ball and he's in a crowded wide receiver core with a, you know,
with a lot of similar players,
not the greatest quarterback. So I, you know, that's why we have, just because he had ridiculous metrics, and now it turns out he's going to be basically their main kick returner. And we're seeing in this draft with the rule change that a lot of these kick returners' value is getting escalated. You know, Dante Pettis got boosted up some. I know they got big plans for him there, and I'm sure Jacksonville is going to have Chark returning a bunch of stuff too. So I don't know how much playing time they'll actually get. So that's why I was fine passing on Chark. And then I love John Kelly. I love John Kelly. So anytime you can take that guy in the third round with or without Todd Gurley, if you have Todd Gurley, I think he's a must. You got to get him. But I think if Todd Gurley were to go down, I'm fine with drafting him and having him waiting for that. And then who knows? I mean, Sean McVay's a smart dude. He could throw John out there. John could possibly get some work, you know? I mean, I don't know. They're probably going to ride Todd Gurley into the ground, which he should do. But I love having that handcuff there. I think he's the best rookie handcuff that's out there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have John Kelly in a couple leagues for that same reason. I always liked the player through the process, and just because that he went to a bad spot, like, it just made his price go down to a more desirable point, and that's exactly what I wanted to capitalize on. So let's move on to the last round, the fourth round. So kicking us off, it's Tyler taking Kiki QT from the Houston Texans. At 4-2, we had Riley coming back again, taking Ian Thomas out of Carolina, the heir apparent to Greg Olsen. The 4-3, it's Tyler again. Look at all these fourth-round picks. Taking Mark Walton. And then at the 4-4, we had Riley come back and take Justin Jackson. I had the 4-5, and I was thrilled that this player was there. It was Chase Edmonds, so I was very happy to get him this late in the draft. 4-6, we had Jay Wayne and the Married to the Game Boys take Josh Adams out of Philadelphia. 4-7, you know, one thing I will say about Pete Davidson, and I love the way that Pete plays, and I love talking with him. I met him in real life. He's super cool. That when he has his guys, he sticks to it and he gets his guys. And he got another one of his guys in this draft, not only Nyheim Hines and Anthony Miller. He got Jalen Samuels, and that's been one of his guys throughout the process. So way to stay to your convictions, Pete. Nicely done. At 4-8, we had John Bosch. There was no more quarterbacks to take, so he took Jamon Moore from the Green Bay Packers. At 4-9, Dynasty Rich from Dynasty Nerds took Trey Quinn from Washington, Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft. At 4-10, the Dynasty Dummies were back out, and they took their favorite team's new slot receiver, potentially, in Braxton Berrios out of Miami. At 4-11, Tyler traded back into the draft to get Ito Smith, that Atlanta love. He had to get him. And then at the 4-12, we had the Podfather, who also, I believe, traded back into the draft to get another one of his players that he likes. So again, much like Pete, stays with his convictions, and he traded it back into the draft to get Justin Watson from Tampa Bay. So let's go to Jay Wayne this time. A lot of interesting names in this fourth round. I think there's some good values that stand out. So give me some of your favorite picks, and then some of the picks, again, that you're kind of like, not a huge fan.
Yeah, that I like the Ian Thomas pick. It's a solid stab at the tight end. I really like all these rookie tight ends. They're very athletic, and their highlight tape looks amazing, and they're all in decent little spots. We picked a lot of the guys up after this fourth round. We went onto the waiver wire and picked up some more rookie tight ends. So I, you know, any of those guys that you feel conviction about, I love Justin Jackson. I think that's a great pick there at 4-4. I think he's a guy that can, if something were to happen to Melvin Gordon, this guy can kind of do it all. He's a little undersized, but he makes up for it in toughness, and he hardly ever missed a game or was injured and can catch the crap out of the ball. So I love that. We took Josh Adams. You know, I don't know, maybe if we had that back, we could do something different. But I mean, we really like Josh coming out of there, and who, I don't know what's going to happen with these Philadelphia Eagles running backs like next year. And so we like him. And for
Tyler knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Corey Clement.
Just lobbing up the softball for Tyler to just yoke right over the fence.
No, I mean, Corey's great. I can't knock you for that. He played very well. I'm very intrigued by Jalen Samuels. I think that's a really good pick. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to use him. If he somehow is a tight end, but you can put in your running back. If they make him a tight end, that would be crazy. You'd have like a rookie. You'd have a running back in your tight end spot. That's very intriguing.
My hot take on Jalen Samuels is that he is the replacement for Le'Veon Bell.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I like James Conner too. So I get a piece of that. You know, I have no problem with that. And I don't know. There's a bunch of dudes that didn't even go in this fourth round that I really liked, and we went and picked up, you know, off the scrap heap after the fact. Jaleel Scott is a guy I'm really targeting in fourth rounds. Super intrigued with him. Don't know what's going to happen with the Ravens wide receiver core. They paid some people this year, but they could get out of those, and it's kind of in flux.
And I scooped up Jordan Lasley after the draft. So
yep, nice.
I'm there with you. I'm there with you. So, Tyler, what do you got for some observations from this fourth and final round in the UDPL?
My love for Ito Smith. And I gave up a 19-3rd and a 20-24th to go to 4-11. And it was honestly based off of knowing Travis was going to take Ito. Travis loves Ito. I love Ito. And I knew he had the next pick. And as soon as I drafted Ito, Travis traded out of the 412 to the Podfather, who I actually traded with to get Ito Smith. So it was kind of ironic in that way. But Ito Smith at 411, when he's probably a third round pick now in the summer, I love it. I think Ito is a long play where next year is where his value is going to come up. And I would have to say in this round, like Trey Quinn, I like that pick a lot. I think Trey Quinn is going to have some value. And my Mark Walton pick is one of the picks where I probably regret the most, just based off of, I did it based off draft capital and my need for a team and hoping maybe Gio moves on, gets traded by after this year, and Mark Walton can stay healthy. And if Mark Walton can stay healthy, he could be a Giovanni Bernard type clone, where he can do much of the same thing. So that's mainly what I'm hoping for. And Kiki Kuti is a guy that I think has huge upside in that offense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about some of the good value picks in this round too, Jamon Moore, the 44th overall pick, I thought was real nice. I like getting Ito, like we got him. Jalen Samuels was in my consideration when I took Chase Edmonds. You know, luckily everything about that's coming out from Arizona on Chase Edmonds is that he is going to be David Johnson's backup. So getting a fourth round running back that has the potential, if DJ were to unfortunately go down with an injury, or maybe they work him in because DJ is getting a ton of touches. I like the player, so I actually kind of like that landing spot as well. So I'm super happy with that, especially getting him after Justin Jackson, who I don't like quite as much. So I thought that was nice. And I will make one side note. So if you're in a dynasty league, you know, there's this thing called, if you go into MFL, it's called the league calendar. So if you go into the league calendar, it's going to tell you exactly when waivers run. So there was a little bit of a controversy in this league because waivers ran right after the draft. So myself and a few other managers put our waivers in and were able to acquire players. And it was a red flag of, whoa, 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 waivers just ran. What do we do? And I was like, well, it was in the league calendar. I checked it. And I put in for the players that I wanted. And I got almost all of them. And I spent like all my budget as well. I got Bo Scarborough, Jordan Lasley, amongst some other players here. So there was a little bit of controversy there. You know, we decided that just let it stick. But I just want to, you know, just a small tidbit. Just check your league calendar. And if there's anything off and you're like, maybe you don't agree with it, bring it up to your commissioner and then vote on it as a league. It's pretty simple.
Yep. And going back to what Jay Wayne said, picking up some players, I picked up Dalton Schultz in free agency and Durham Smythe, hoping maybe Gesicki isn't the tight end that pans out in Miami. Maybe it's Smythe. And then, yeah, all the rest of my pickups were pretty much long shots, like Jake Winicky for Minnesota, the wide receiver who hopefully is the new Adam Thielen there, but you never know.
That is very, very... Yeah, and I picked up... who else did I... Hold on, I'm checking my taxi now, so sorry. I picked my boy Dylan Cantrell. I have him in every league from the Los Angeles Chargers. Love that guy. And I picked up Auden Tate as well, Cedric Wilson from Dallas, Trenton Cannon from the Jets, Mike White, JT Barrett, because you never know, Drew Brees is kind of old. So maybe there's an opportunity for him there. But yeah, go ahead, Jaywin, what were you going to say?
Well, there's a couple more guys, these tight ends, these rookie tight ends that are very appealing. Jordan Akins is a guy we were really excited to pick up off the waiver wire. And then Tyler Conklin and Chris Herndon, not having the best off the field rookie start to his career, but he was pretty crazy looking at Miami. Who knows what could happen there? But that Jordan Akins.
I like Conklin.
Conklin to me is huge.
Yeah.
And I just, you got to remind people that Rudolph, the past, like before this 3 or 4 year run, he was not the healthiest player. He was always hurt. He always missed games. And Conklin's probably their best receiving tight end. Daniel Morgan is more of a just blocking, can catch some passes, who I don't mind, but Conklin's a guy that is that prototypical basketball player, the guy who can run good routes, quick, and looked good in the Senior Bowl. So I like that pickup.
Absolutely. So that is going to wrap us up with our rookie draft analysis from the UDPL. Jay Wayne, I want to thank you for coming on and jumping on as a guest this week. So let us know where we can find you and what you're working on, and feel free. This is your space to plug what you got.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This is a lot of fun. I'm glad I could make it. Really appreciate the invite. You guys do a great job over here. So it was super fun to kind of recap this fantasy draft. That was really cool. You can find us. We're Married to the Game podcast presented by the FF Dynasty. You can find us on Twitter at the FF Dynasty. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Wayne's World. We're about to have a website. It's actually up and running. We got it converted over. We're working to get that all set up, but it's live now. You can go check it out. TheFFDynasty.com. We're going to be putting a bunch more improvements and stuff to that thing. We're trying to get these rankings settled out. It's really tough to put the rankings together, but and it's just ever changing. But anyways, go check all that out. Appreciate you guys having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, anytime, and thanks again for joining us. Did want to send out another thank you to our sponsors, the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. Again, use code HAPPYHOUR to save 10%. And the folks at the Sitter Start Fantasy app, thank you once again. I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather. You can find Tyler Gunthener at DHH_Tyler. And Tim will be back next week. And you can find him at DHH_Tim. We have some very special guests coming on next week. We have two of the fantasy footballers themselves, Mr. Mike Wright, the Fantasy Hitman, and Jason Moore. Tyler, what do we have in store?
They are going to go over their rookie draft on their main dynasty. I know they talk about it a lot on the show about dynasty values, or they're getting more into dynasty, but we have them on every year to kind of nitpick at their draft and to just kind of joke around with them, talk about their picks and who they missed and who they got.
Awesome. So make sure you tune in next week to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We will see you on the other side.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at TheFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.